I want to thank you for the group here this morning. And Lord, I want to thank you for the season we're in as a church. God, we don't proclaim to know what we're doing. We proclaim to know you. And we want to follow you and we want to listen to you. And God, we want to touch lives because of you. Jesus, you came and met with each one of us. And you shaped us differently than we were before. And we're super grateful for that. Now, God, you say this to us. I need you to go do the same for others. So, God, I pray that in this next season, you would really help us to grow into, just like the video said, into world changers. You change one life, you change the world, because you change the world one life at a time. So God, help us today to discover your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you can't tell, I'm still stuffy, so I'd still covet your prayers, still battling whatever this sinus crazy infection thing is going on. So I would really covet your prayers. So if I sound like I'm talking out of my nose, I am, okay? So just give me a little grace. So listen, I want to talk to you really about one thing, and then we're going to take communion. We're going to go eat. How many people want to eat? Come on. And you say, free food. I love free food. Only thing better than cheap food is free food. So how many of you guys, when you were kids, you were afraid of the dark? Okay, how many of you as adults are afraid? Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, and you know, to top it off, what made it even worse is my parents owned theaters. So as a kid, I would do stuff like sneak in and watch movies that I shouldn't watch. Like, how many of you guys have seen the movie Nightmare on Elm Street? How many of you guys have watched Nightmare on Elm Street and then had a nightmare about Nightmare on Elm Street? Okay, I hate scary movies. Well, when I was five, I snuck in to watch a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek. Stupidest movie ever, because I found it as an adult and I showed it to my son, and my son's like, you were scared of that, Dad? But it's a Bigfoot movie. And Bigfoot, so this was my life as a five-year-old. I snuck in, nobody knew I watched it. So now there's like this 9-foot-tall ape human thing that's gonna come get me in the dark. Am I talking to anybody? So I'm laying on my bed, and I would look, you know, or I'm sleeping on the sofa, and I would look at the mantle. My mom had this clock. And if I stared at the clock long enough, I swear to you, it turned into Bigfoot's face. Oh my, and I would be like totally freaking out, and then I would go sneak into my parents' room. And if I was lucky, I would beat the other three or four sisters that tried to get there before me, right? Because there's 12 of us, remember? So I would sneak into my, and for some reason, Bigfoot was never in my mom's room. Why? Because there was people, and he's afraid of mom, dad. See, there was this sense of, as soon as I walked in, I was safe because I was with people who cared about me and loved me and looked out for me. Listen, now, that might be a silly analogy, but do you realize that that is the picture of church? That's the picture of church. You realize that when you come into church, you come in from out there with all kinds of craziness. Am I talking to anybody? Life is nuts out there. And then you come in here and there's people who are believing for you. And they're trusting promises in God. And they're trying to help you see your way in a world that's just quirky and crazy and sometimes really hard. But you get around them and somehow you all of a sudden feel what? Safe, loved, secure, a little less afraid. See, that's the purpose of church. You see, what I want to talk to you about this morning is, why go to church? Like, why is church important? Why should we celebrate community together today? Why should we do that? I'm going to show you that actually church is this. You are being invited into a relationship of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. You're being invited into the intimacy of God Himself. That's actually what church is. See, some of you will think this. Church is about coming to a building. No, it's really not. Oh, we're the church. We can do church anywhere we want to. Maybe true, maybe not. I could argue with you biblically. But if I were to say this to you, church is not about a group of people gathering, because that's just community. You can do that at a baseball game. Church is about celebrating the risen Lord, Jesus, who the Father glorified and honored, who the Spirit strengthens you to worship. That is what church is. What makes this church is because we gather around the name of Jesus and we celebrate His possibility and His strength in every one of our lives. That's what makes it church. Listen, gathering together, singing a few songs, even opening your Bible doesn't make a church until you start worshiping the King of Kings. and the Lord of Lords. That's what makes a church. So we gather together for this reason, to celebrate that if God is for us, there can't be anybody who's against us. So if you look around the church, you got to think like this. The church is kind of like this big, giant, dysfunctional family. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a mess. You're a mess. And you're part of my family. See, look, the truth is, God is crazy. You shouldn't have had that much fun with that. I'm just saying. I, you know, you guys are like a little way too. You're like, you're a mess. I can say it because pastor said to. Look, the reality is the church is like this big dysfunctional family. What happens is you come in with an issue and you sit next to somebody who's already been through the issue. And then God teaches you, man, to love other people with the things that you've been loved with, to set them free the same way you've been set free. And you watch spiritual life happen in community. You watch it dynamic and powerful. Look, this is what Jesus said. First, you were made for relationship with God, okay? You were made with, like, where does the idea of church come from? Does it come from, like, synagogue? How many of you guys have heard this? That the beginning of the church was Acts. Because in Acts is where you see the people meeting together and they're worshiping together. But you know, I think church goes way further back than that. See, I think church goes all the way back to God. I don't think it just goes back to this idea of people gathering. I think it goes back to this idea of unity, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were present together, creating the world together, creating you together, knowing your thoughts, your makeup, your wiring, the number of hairs on your head or the lack thereof, right? See, God knows every intricate detail about you because he was in relationship making you and then putting us together. See, listen, I'm hoping that spiritually God will awaken something in you about how valuable this spiritual community thing we do together is. You need it to be successful in life. You need it to be successful. This is what Jesus said. He said that the church would be a demonstration of his influence in the world. But in John 17, Jesus is going to now go to the cross. He's going to go get crucified so that he could redeem all of us. This is what he says. He says, but now I come to you. This is verse 13 of chapter 17 of John. And these things I speak in the world, so watch, so that you may have joy and that your joy may be made full. I have given them my word and the world hated them. I have to pause with that statement. How many of you have loved Jesus and had somebody hate you because of it? Listen, I love you all, church. You want to be light in darkness? You can't be dark. You can't do the deeds of darkness and be light in darkness. You can't do that. See, God said that if you really love me, the world will hate. Like, what's a sign if you're doing a good job in your Christian walk? Are worldly people saying, I don't like getting around that guy. He's always all Jesus-y and stuff. You know what? They should notice something about your life that is significantly different than everybody else, than all the counsel they're giving. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. How many of you guys are like, man, Jesus, just take me home. This place is hard. Am I really the only one? Okay, this place is hard, Jesus. You know, like, yeah, we kind of face that. I like life a little too much, but man, just take me home. He said this, I'm not going to take you out of it. I'm going to give you my presence within it. How many of you guys need more of God as you're doing life? Hello? That all your hands should go up right now. I need God to lead me. I need his presence, his direction. They are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Because your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on my behalf, but for those also whom will believe in me through their word. Listen, he's talking about you in that sentence. See, Jesus is God and he's self-sufficient. Amen? He doesn't need us, but he does choose to love us and interact with us. What he's saying is this, people who believe in the words of the apostles, that is the demonstration of the Godhead in the earth. Okay, let me explain what I mean. Because some of you are like, you're really passionate, Pastor, and we like that, but we don't know what you mean. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I mean. You get brought into this intimate relationship of a God who designed relationship with you. The whole purpose of creation is to design a being that worships him freely. He did not want robots. Look at your partner and say, you're not a robot. You're not a robot. God wants you to choose him. And he invites you into this intimate relationship with him so that you can choose him and worship him and love him and he can love you back. Man, I'll tell you what, my life didn't get easier when I became a Christian, but it came more full of peace. I wasn't in it alone anymore. How many of you guys feel alone sometimes? You're not alone. He said, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He says, man, I'm with them. I want them to believe in me through the word of the apostles that they may all be one. Watch, one, you ready? Even as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. You know, the greatest testimony of Christ in the earth, of the power of God within the sphere of mankind, is the church. Us in him, him in us in one another. Listen, I know when I say that, this is what most Americans do. Man, I go in, I push my button on my garage door, it opens, I go in, I push the button, it closes. I got neighbors, I don't know their name, and I don't want to talk to them, but I wave when I drive by. That's how most of us do life, right? But the reality is this, God said, I want you to go into the world. I want people to look at your life and it to be a demonstration of us in you. And listen, when you go out into your workplaces, you go out home, you go talk to your neighbors, people see Jesus in you. They might see your physical makeup, but when you're loving and kind, man, this demonstrates God better than anything you could ever potentially say. Just live for him out there. Because God invited you into this intimate relationship. See, the benefits of this union are joy being full inside of you. How many of you guys need joy? Come on, world is tough sometimes. He said that he gave us his word. Not only did he give us the written word, the Bible, but he gave us Jesus, who's actually the word of God. He said that he would keep us from evil, that Jesus was sent, and that we're also to be what? Sent. See, Jesus came and he modeled for us what we're supposed to do. You know that some of you need to go. And I don't mean leave in the sense of not being part of this church. You need to go out to people and talk to them about God. You need to live Jesus in front of them. You need to love them in the name of God. He says, and when you do that, the world will believe. Listen, I was talking to a young guy out at Coffee Bean. It was probably at least a month ago now. And guy was a believer, and we were just chit-chatting. Just, you know, you guys make talk with people. You guys get out there and talk to people. You know, really, though, there's like three of us. The rest of you need to start talking to people. By the way, you know how people find out about Jesus? You talk to them. That's how it happens. So I'm out, and I'm just making conversation with this guy, and he tells me he's walking with God, and then he says, yeah, he goes, man, but he's just not talking to me. I can't hear him. And so I just asked him, I said, so where do you go to church? He goes, I go over here. He goes, but it's been a really long time. And listen, I know I'm talking to some of you. So just listen. If I wanted to talk to Neil, I'd go up in the room that Neil is in, right? And I would go, if I want to talk to Tommy, I'm going to go into the room that Tommy's in and have a conversation with him, right? Does this make sense? If I want to talk to Kevin, I'm going to walk up and go, hey, Kevin, how are you doing? Now, if I walk over here and Kevin's over there and I start talking, is Kevin going to understand I'm talking to him? No. Would I be able to hear Kevin if he spoke to me back? No. Now, I tell young people this all the time. If you want to go and hear God, you got to go where God is. Amen. God is present where? Yeah. In church. People tell me, I don't need church to grow in Jesus. That's the stupidest statement I've ever heard. You're like, Pastor, you just called me stupid. I know. I'm aware of that. I've been stupid before in my own life. But what I'm telling you is this, you will never grow up in Christ and you'll never hear his voice if you don't make the house of God a pattern for your life. God designed the church to be powerful and intimate with him. And the second thing he designed is that we would all be together in it. How many of you guys know you need each other? Amen. Somebody say, man, I need the person next to me. Man, I'll tell you what, the season that we've been going through as a family, I am so grateful I have a loving and an amazing church, because they've been with us through difficult, like just confusing, offering all sorts of opportunities for help. And it just blows my mind. It humbles me, because you are demonstrating, I think, what Jesus would do if he was here in the flesh. So way to go, church. Proud of you. But there's lots of people out there who need what we have. Amen? Amen. Lots of people who need to be accepted and loved and trained and nurtured into wholeness so that they can then turn and love other people the same way. See, you were made for community. I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to take communion. We're going to eat, because you're like, Pastor, you're already going longer than you said. I know. I can't help it. You put a mic on me and a Bible, and now I'm going crazy. See, listen, you were made for each other. And one of the most dangerous things in life is we get around people that we're comfortable with, but not necessarily people who are speaking spiritual truth and direction into our lives. Now, I see this happen all the time, so please take this as just a, you know, whatever. If it applies, it applies. If it doesn't, you can discount it. I watch people go and seek counsel from people who are not God lovers, or even counsel that comes from God. And they stay very private, and they don't open up at all, and they don't get any freedom. And I watch them do laps. You know, when I say laps, I mean you do repetitive cycles through the same issues in your life, and you don't get any freedom. And I watch this happen all the time. And you know, I just want to encourage you that, listen, if you're in a season where you keep doing laps, you're probably getting counsel from the wrong people. You probably need somebody who's spiritually strong enough to lead you, to speak truth to you. You know, I had a good friend of me say to me a few days ago, I'm going to meet with this person. And I said, I think that that's not a great idea. And they said, why? I said, because they're your best friend. They won't tell you the truth. And they said, oh, but they love me. And I said, exactly. But they won't tell you the truth. They're gonna feel more compassion than they will honest. I said, I think go there, but don't only go there. Listen, some of you need people who are going to be able to give you a clear pathway through, this is what you're doing and this is the pathway out. That doesn't happen by accident. See, the church is designed to bring that to you. Look at what it says in Acts. Then we're going to take communion and we're going to go out and eat. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, this is after Jesus had ascended, and now the Spirit has fallen, and it says this, that the disciples, the church, if you will, were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayer. So they would gather together, they would study teaching, they would fellowship, they would hang out with each other, they would break bread. Now, some of us want to make that communion, could be that, but I think this, they ate food together. By the way, you know that food is super spiritual. I'm really spiritual, okay, church? I'm just telling you. Food is spiritual. It's true. Food is spiritual. What the Bible says is get together, break bread, share life. That's what it says. Food is spiritual. And it says that they gathered together and they prayed together. Man, listen, I can't tell you enough. You get around somebody, you give your stuff, or they give you their stuff. When you're done, stop and do what? Pray. Stop and do what? Pray. Listening to somebody will do nothing for their need. Hello, church. You need to do what? Okay, that was like half of you. The rest of you are like, yeah, whatever. Are you done yet? I want chicken and I can smell the baked beans, Pastor. No, listen. Pray. Prayer moves the hand of God. It changes things. Listen, it says that they got together, they studied, they hung out, they ate, they prayed. And everyone that was together felt a sense of awe. Listen, I felt that during worship today. A sense of community, like we're in this thing together. Amen? That's what that's about. They kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together, and all had all things in common. That's why I'm saying, don't go seek counsel from somebody who's worldly. Worst thing you can ever do. Have a common value to honor Christ. Get counsel there. It says they even began selling their property and their possessions, and they were sharing with all as anyone had need. You know, we've lived that recently. It's been really a blessing. been really a blessing to just have people extend themselves and be a blessing to me and my family. Thank you. Thank you. Day by day, they continued with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking meals together with gladness and with sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. Listen, just do church. You don't have to be creative or clever. Do church. People want it. It's the truth. You do church genuinely and people want it. They want it. You know why? Because when you came in, how many of you guys experienced peace during worship? How many of you guys experienced like the lifting of burdens? Like people were actually excited to see you here today? You felt lifted up, encouraged, and now you're going to go eat and you're going to get your belly full and you're going to hang out and you're going to talk. That's all part of spiritual community church. That's how it works. You know, I'm going to tell you a story. We're going to take communion. You didn't think you were getting off that easy, did you? No, seriously. When we came in to this neighborhood and we started praying about doing a church, the Lord said, make the church about community, because that's what I'm about. I'm about people together, people doing life together, people battling. Look, I've wept with many of you over the loss of loved ones. I've prayed with you through sickness and illness. You know, the church has stood with you in financial strife and provided resources, food, and paid bills. That's what we do. Because the church is designed to be a community that stands together. That's what it's supposed to do. Amen. And when we do that well, it demonstrates Jesus in the earth. That's what it does. And we've gathered together and do that. It did done that. And when we came into this neighborhood, we want, you know, you want to be clever. You know, you want to be new. You want to be like better than Starbucks if you're a coffee joint, right? So you want to be better than all the other churches. And God says, there's nothing better than me. Nothing better than me and people together in community worshiping me. You know, and what I love about regathering is just simply this. I love worshiping together. I love celebrating together. I love that you all are going to get to know one another because you're not in different services. I love that we're going to partner together and we're going to go reach people who don't know Jesus in another part of the town because God calls us to go. Listen, so all of this is about this idea that when we were pounding the pavement out here, this is what we heard over and over. There's no sense of community here. You realize the Inland Empire is the number one commuter community in the entire nation. More people travel for work in this region than anywhere else in the United States. They go early, they get home late, they open their garage, they fall over dead on the weekends, they try to get their laundry done and get back to work. And what a great thing to say, hey, why don't you come and get filled up with the dose of Jesus before you go back after it again? Because he'll give you peace in your week and he'll strengthen you for life. That's what we're together doing. Because we took the call real that we were called to community. So I'm excited about the next season. And I think God is going to do some really exciting things, not just through me as your pastor, but through us as a church. So you need to be prayerful, open-hearted to where God will lead you. Amen. Okay, so because I want the party to start, but I don't want to miss celebrating Jesus, Vic, why don't you come and just play behind us? I want to ask several others of you to pass out communion. We're going to take together, but today is really about celebrating a party. It's about a party. That's really what we got together for today. We pulled back together into one service because we're doing this thing to expand the kingdom of God. And then we want to eat together because we eat good together. I like food a lot. Okay, so as they pass out communion, I just check your own heart, ready your own heart. We'll take together in just a moment, and then I'll dismiss you to go out and get some food and enjoy one another's company.
Understanding my life. life is in the hand of the maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hand of the maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hand of the maker of heaven.
Together, church.
I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open.
Jesus, first we want to come before you and just bow our hearts. And God, I pray that you cleanse us from anything wacky that's going on, whether we're battling with anger or frustration or just a difficult week and our eyes are not lifted toward you. God, your word says that when we come in to take communion that we should do it with the right heart. So we just want to ask that you cleanse us so we can come in with the right heart. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you took your body and you broke it, and in that breaking, it brought about possibility for mankind, brought about wholeness and healing and freedom and forgiveness. And we want to say thank you that you did that for each and every one of us this morning. So God, I pray that you would help us as we prepare to take communion with our hearts. Just help us for it to be a symbol that we're saying, hey, we're here focused on you, God, and we want to grow. We want to continue to transform and be more and more like Jesus. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, and then he gave it to his disciples, and he said, when you gather together, remember this. Remember that we had fellowship with one another and that we shared a meal that was symbolic of my body being broken. Go ahead and eat. And then right after that, Jesus took the cup and he demonstrated that it was a cup of an everlasting covenant, that there would be an eternal sacrifice for sins for mankind. He blessed that cup and he said, man, this is a new covenant. Don't forget it. When you gather together, remember that I set a path for you that's different than it's ever been, that we now freely have access to go before God. receive mercy in our time of need. Jesus, I thank you that you shed your blood in my place. And I thank you that there's power in the blood of Jesus to set us free, to heal us, to give us victory. Go ahead and drink. You know, could we stand and just sing this song together, please? Let's just stand and sing this song together.
There's nothing I hold on to. 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 But I'm holding on to you, Jesus. There's nothing.
Father, thank you so much that we in community and in unity can celebrate your goodness in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would bless the food as we go out. We don't need to stop and pray because I'm doing it right now. God, thank you for all that's going to be shared, the fellowship especially, the friendships that will be made and deepened. God, let us enjoy our time together. We worship you, Jesus, and you alone. And all God's people say, amen, amen. Amen. All right.